You're listening to BBC Radio 4. The time is 8:30, and that's time for Saturday Night Theatre.
A Bumper Year for Dahlias by Alan Downer, with Stephen Pacey as Richard Hammond and Rosalind Adams as Paula. A Bumper Year for Dahlias.
Richard?
Yes, what?
Our small son called the milkman daddy yesterday.
Oh, yes.
He pointed to him in an accusing sort of way, I thought, and said, "Daddy!" Quite distinctly. Hardly surprising, I suppose, since he sees more of the milkman than he does of you. So do I come to that.
Remind me to complain to the milk marketing board.
I've seen you twice this week, and both times asleep in front of the telly.
I'm on duty this week. Paula, are you sorry I ever became a centenaire?
Sometimes.
We did discuss at great length what it would entail in terms of time and effort and sacrifice, and you were all in favour. Go ahead, you said. Do your bit, you said. Make Jersey a better place to live in, you said. So I am. Till Saturday, then it's Norman's turn. At least as far as this parish is concerned.
Good old Norman. Oh, what's on tonight? Day of judgment for parking offenders. No, if it was only that, you wouldn't be polishing your shoes.
I'm not wearing my centenaire's hat tonight, as a matter of fact. It's a meeting of the prizes subcommittee for the annual charity ball.
And who's serving on that?
Just Nicky and me.
Nicky being Nicky Custance.
Right.
So it'll be at the hotel, Granville.
Well, Nicky has to be on the premises. We'll meet in his office.
Right, next to the bar.
Adjacent, yes. And if that's the time, I must go. I'm supposed to be there for 8.
Try not to get too sloshed.
Just because he's a hotelier, Paula, doesn't mean it'll be a boozy do.
Oh, no.
No!
Whoa! What are we celebrating?
It's a year ago today I bought this hotel.
Oh, congratulations, thanks. You've revolutionised the place.
Ah, it's what Jersey needed. A first-class international hotel. Small but sumptuous. Somewhere for top people to come on business or pleasure.
And presumably it's doing well.
I expect to have made my first million by 1990.
Wow.
Anyway, that's the 5-year plan. Not bad for someone who was invariably bottom of the class at school, as you will doubtless remember.
Congratulations again. Cheers.
You're giving me your head prefect look.
Sorry.
And I know why, too.
Why?
It's all a bit too brash for you, isn't it? Oh, I'll be honest.
I prefer something more traditional.
Jersey's still a backwater because of people like you.
Jersey isn't a backwater.
Oh, come on, Richard. The businessmen who come here for conference and seminars, I mean, who are they?
You'll tell me, I'm sure.
Low-grade, middle-aged, stick-in-the-muds on the lookout for something cheap and cheerful. The ones with imagination and a few quid in their pockets go to Venice or Paris or L.A. Well, I'm going to change all that, because I'm going to offer a top-flight disco, a heated indoor pool, massage facilities, saunas, jacuzzis, a gym, you name it, you'll be able to get it here at the Hotel Granville. Jersey's not going to know what's hit it.
Well, shouldn't we get down to business?
Yeah, right, sure. Go ahead, let's talk about prizes.
And the question is...
Hang on a sec.
Sure.
Custance? Oh, yes. Yes, he is. Hold on, please. It's for you, Police HQ.
Is that you, Richard?
No, it's the milkman.
That's okay, then. Hop in.
Sorry if I woke you.
Oh, never mind. Just hurry up and come to bed.
I'm being as fast as I can.
Long committee meeting?
No, short committee meeting. Major accident at Rue de Chenal. I can't find my pyjamas.
Who needs pyjamas?
It's
Gone one, Paula.
I hate clock watchers.
I'm flaked out, sweetheart.
Oh, come on. I'm warm and I'm waiting. I don't believe it.
It'll be for me. Sorry, Paula. Some other time.
Saved by the bell.
Overdose, eh, Doc? Accidental?
Well, it looks like she'd gone to bed. She's wearing her nightie. That may point to it being accidental. Hard to say.
How long?
A couple of hours, maybe more.
She's a pretty girl. Early 20s?
If that.
Shame.
It's always a shame, Richard. Even when they're fat 50 and with bodies like last year's Christmas balloons.
Oh, yes.
Hello, Mr. Hammond. Can I have a word?
Of course. Doc, you've met Detective Sergeant Renouf.
We've nodded.
What is it, Ken?
Oh, we've got a few particulars.
Well, let's hear them.
Does that mean I can get on with my work now?
Yes, yes, of course, Doc. Sorry.
The way I look at it, the sooner I'm finished, the sooner I'm back home in my bed.
Okay, Ken, fire away.
The young lady's name is Vanessa Guillaume. She'd have been 19 next month. She shared this cottage with her cousin, Helen Bisson. She's an air hostess. She's the one that found the body.
Ah, need to talk to her.
She's brewing up in the kitchen.
Well, best news I've had in ages.
They were her sleeping tablets, by the way. Miss Bisson's, I mean. Sometimes needs to knock herself out, so she likes to keep them handy.
Where's handy?
Oh, in her bedside table. She sleeps in the room next door.
Does she know how many were in the bottle?
It was a new prescription.
What, so the bottle was full?
Right. Now it's nearly empty. See for yourself.
Well, about half a dozen left. Well, you can drop it. If she'd meant business, Doc, wouldn't she have taken the lot?
Well, they usually want to make sure.
What, accident then?
Oh, no sign of a suicide note. I've had a good look around. Here's the lady now.
Would you like some tea, gentlemen?
Oh, straight into a vein for me, please.
Help yourself to milk and sugar.
Thanks. I'm Centenier Hammond, Miss Bisson. I'll be in charge of the case.
How do you do?
I'll need to ask you some questions, either now or in the morning. It's up to you.
Now we'll be fine. It'll be quiet in the lounge.
Right. You nearly finished, Doc?
A few more minutes.
I'll check on the ambulance.
Okay, Miss Bisson, I'm right behind you.
Ready when you are, Mr. Hammond.
The obvious question, Miss Bisson. Did your cousin, to your knowledge, have any reason to take her own life?
None at all. She'd been through rather a bad patch, family-wise, but that seemed to have sorted itself out.
Bad patch?
Well, Vanessa was my Uncle Jean's only child. He worshipped the ground she walked on. It was his big ambition that she should become a doctor. Not just a GP, a Harley Street specialist, that sort of thing. Apparently he'd had the same ambition for himself when he was young. But the war, the occupation, just wasn't possible.
I see.
Anyway, he sent her away to the mainland to a very expensive school. I forget the name. I think it was in Salisbury. He's never been short of a few pennies.
Well, he's a wealthy man.
Well, he's a florist and a nurseryman in quite a big way. Five Oaks Flowers. Maybe you've seen the van.
Ah, yes, I believe I have.
Well, Vanessa was a prize pupil. Dozens of O's and A's. And she got into medical school, where everything continued to go well. Then suddenly last year she dropped out, chucked it all in and came back to Jersey to her parents.
So how did you come to share this cottage?
Vanessa's mother is a woman with a metaphorical thou shalt not carved in stone above the front door. You know the type.
I think so.
Not unkind exactly, but disapproving. After she got back, Vanessa started going to discos, late-night parties, that sort of thing. Mm. Generally kicking over the traces. And when she got some kind of modelling job, that was the last straw. My aunt said if she wasn't prepared to change her way, she could pack her bags and go. So she did. And I, for one, don't blame her.
And that's how she came to be here?
Yes. The idea was I should keep an eye on her. I didn't make a very good job of it, did I? Her father will be distraught. He's got ulcers, as it is.
You say she had a modelling job?
Oh, nothing much, I don't think. Part-time, for pin money. Her father kept her in funds. She was a very beautiful girl. Marvellous figure. Vivacious. Great fun to be with. I shall miss her.
Nearly finished. Did she have any boyfriends?
Nobody special.
Did she ever bring anyone here?
I don't think so.
And her relations with her family?
We're improving. Her mother, well, you know, what the eye don't see. And her father seemed to be getting over his disappointment about university and all that. So there weren't any problems there either.
Yes?
Excuse me. Ambulance is here, Mr. Hammer. You ready to release the body? Jeff's taken all the photos he wants.
I don't see why not. What about the pills and glass for the analyst?
All sealed up.
Okay. Tell Doc I'll phone him in the morning.
Right.
Last question, Miss Bisson. Had Vanessa ever taken any of your sleeping tablets before?
No. Well, she knew I took them from time to time. And she knew where they were. Well, she never asked for any. It doesn't make sense.
You've informed her parents?
Yes. I've promised to go down first thing in the morning.
Good, good. Please tell them that I'll look in myself later in the day.
It's an awful admission for a mother to make, Mr. Hammond, that she didn't understand her own child. But I never understood Vanessa. We didn't row or anything. We just had nothing in common. If Vanessa had a problem, she'd take it to her father.
Did she have any problems?
Little things, like any girl. She was very conventional till last year, when she suddenly gave up her studies at medical school.
Do you know why?
No. She gave me no explanations.
Your husband?
Jean told me to leave her alone, not ask questions. Let her find her own feet. So I did.
He and Vanessa were very close?
Yes. Yes, they'd spend hours together in the greenhouses, out in the fields. He had such plans for her.
And yet she left home.
Let's be frank, that was my doing. It seemed to me the only way Vanessa was going to pull herself together was if she was made to live her own life independent of her father.
And she couldn't have done so living at home.
My husband was very possessive. Too much so, probably. I thought it best she should go her own way. Also, since her return from the mainland, she'd been keeping late hours, turning day into night, night into day, and I didn't like that. I spoke to her about it. Made no difference. I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that people living under my roof should conform to my standards. Vanessa wouldn't. It was clearly time for a break. You look surprised, Mr. Hammond.
It seems a little harsh.
Possibly. I regret it now, of course. If she'd been with us, one does one's best.
Can you think of any reason why she should want to take her own life?
No. But then I hadn't seen her for 4 months.
You didn't keep in touch?
She knew where to find me. What's the point of showing someone the door if you're going to invite them over every morning for coffee?
What about your husband?
And I'd asked him not to see her. They spoke on the telephone a couple of times a week. Harsh again. Life is harsh. You've got to learn to take the knocks, not go under the first time things start to go wrong.
I'll need to talk to Mr. Guillaume.
He's very upset. Vanessa was his life. With her gone, please be gentle with him.
I will.
He's in the greenhouse, the big one with the dahlias. He named one after her, you know.
Huh?
A crimson one. Vanessa Guillaume. He's been in there all morning.
Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful double bloom with a little gold eye at the center.
Lovely colour.
Yes. Bright and shapely and full of life. Just like she was. She was all that kept me going, Mr. Hammond. Really. I don't know what I'll do now she's gone. You've spoken to my wife?
Yes.
You got any children, Mr. Hammond?
A son. He's 2 and a bit.
Ah. Well, a daughter's the difference. A man can be close to his daughter without jealousy or competition.
When did you last see her?
About 8 o'clock last night.
Where?
At the cottage. I drop in there every Wednesday evening. Vanessa would make tea and muffins, stuff like that, and we'd swap yarns about what we'd been up to. I didn't tell my wife, she wouldn't have understood. Bound to come out now, I suppose.
Forgive me, Mr. Guillaume, but Let me get this straight. You saw your daughter yesterday evening at the cottage, and she was alive and well.
She was in great form, yes.
And you left?
About nine. Maybe a touch later. You know how time flies. I'd asked her to come back home, and she said she would.
She was coming back home?
Well, that was the plan, yes. She even said she'd go back to medical school. That was her own idea. She said she realized it was what she wanted after all.
I understand she wasn't in the habit of taking sleeping tablets.
No.
Then why should she
decide... I'll tell you what I think. She told me she had this modelling session booked for early this morning. I don't know exactly what, but she seemed to think it was quite important and was going to have an early night. Well, she'd always been a night bird, Mr. Hammond, and it's my view that she took a couple of Helen's tablets to send her off, and they didn't. So, not being used to tablets, she took a couple more. And that's how it went on.
It's got to be accidental death, hasn't it?
Has it?
Certainly. One, she was in good spirits when her father left her at about 9 o'clock last night. Two, they were working towards a family reconciliation. Three, she was thinking of going back to medical school. And four, she had an appointment for the following day that she was eager to keep.
Mm.
Five, she wasn't familiar with sleeping tablets, so if it was a suicide attempt, it would be logical for her to empty the bottle and not leave any tablets. Also, she was in bed and wearing a nightie when found, which bears out her father's evidence about her wanting an early night. I mean, what more do you want?
Wish we knew where her appointment was, just for corroboration. And what kind of modelling?
Calendars? Christmas catalogues?
Well, a bit late in the year for those.
Picture postcards, holiday brochures, pretty girl in bikini posing on a sandy beach. There's dozens of things.
Oh, no!
My heart bleeds for her parents. If it's for you, I shall tell them you're out. Hello? Oh, hello, Doctor. Yes, just a sec. It's Dr. Elston. He says, would it be possible for you to come over straight away?
Where is he?
Where are you, Doctor? He's at the morgue.
Didn't want to say too much on the phone, Richard. It's the Vanessa Guillaume case.
New development.
You could say that. Come this way, would you? The pathologist doing the post-mortem on her now. Oh. Well, it was to be slipped out for a sandwich. You're not squeamish, are you?
No.
Well, there's a hand basin in the corner, just so long as you don't vomit all over the floor. Now, here we are. It's all right, there aren't any little pieces lying around anyway. She's quite intact, so there's no cause for alarm.
Good.
Now, just look here, will you? You'll find this very interesting. I should really have noticed it back at the cottage, but the lighting was very bad. Now, look at her arms. Do you see that? And that?
No, can't say I do.
Maybe you should stick to selling handbags.
That's what they all say.
They are contusions, or bruises, if you prefer the layman's term, and they're not only in the area of the biceps either. Now, look here, at her neck. A slight bruising is visible there, too. Well, you can see that, surely.
Yeah, I think I can. There and there.
Right.
Well, same on both sides.
Exactly.
What do you think caused them, Doc?
Oh, do call me Stuart, for God's sake. Doc makes me feel like one of the seven dwarfs.
What do you think caused them?
Thumbs. Now, the marks on both the throat and the biceps were caused, in my view, and that of the pathologist, by thumbs.
Let me get this straight. You think somebody tried to strangle her?
Well, somebody grabbed her, quite forcibly, by both the throat and the arms.
Crikey.
And there's more. Now, round about the same time as the bruising, sexual intercourse took place.
You mean she was raped?
Well, that's what it looks like. She put up a struggle. Seems there are traces of human skin under the fingernails of both hands.
And this all took place yesterday?
Yes, it did.
The girl was raped yesterday, and yet when her father saw her in the evening, she was in good form and full of plans for the future.
And by 1 o'clock in the morning, she was dead. Now, pick the bones out of that one.
You're not asleep, are you?
No. I could do with a cup of tea.
It's 1 o'clock. If we went downstairs, we'd probably wake Martin.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I've got some peppermints in my bag.
Ooh, I'll have one of those.
Coming up.
You see, if she was raped Wednesday afternoon, I can't see why she didn't tell her father.
From what I read about rape, it's the instinct of many women to keep it to themselves.
No, they keep it from the police, Paula, because they don't want the whole thing dragged through the courts. Surely they tell their nearest and dearest.
Not invariably, especially if their nearest and dearest happen to be men, like boyfriends or husbands, or probably even fathers when they've been very close. They're afraid the relationship will be damaged in some way because they've been soiled. Here, help yourself. Extra strong. One for you, one for me. Well, it figures that Vanessa wouldn't want to tell her mother. They were never that close.
Paula.
Hmm?
These peppermints are awful.
They've been in my handbag for months.
They taste of nail varnish.
They're different, I'll give you that. Well, it's quite straightforward. Vanessa Guillaume is raped, possibly by someone she knows quite well. She decides to keep Sturm, puts a brave face on it with her father when he calls, and agrees to consider returning to the bosom of her family and to medical school. And why? Because they seem safe and familiar. She wants to lick her wounds. Is that illogical?
No.
What is illogical is that she should then deliberately take an overdose. She's had a traumatic experience, which she's kept to herself. She's got an important photographic session the next morning, which she wants to look her best for. She's overwrought, in emotional turmoil, finds she can't sleep. So finally she gets desperate and takes some tablets. They don't seem to be working, so she takes more. And more. Then bingo. All adds up to me.
And now we've got a rapist on the loose.
Yes, that's a thought. These peppermints are grotty, aren't they? What are you going to do about it?
I'll spat mine out.
How about the rapist, Richard?
Oh, I don't know. I think perhaps I'll just sleep on it.
Oh, yes.
And then again, maybe I won't.
Thank you for coming so quickly, Mr. Hammond. Please, come in.
Thank you.
Come through to the lounge. This is becoming a habit, isn't it? Getting you out in the middle of the night.
That's all right, Miss Bissell. You get used to it.
I'll take your coat.
Thank you.
Please, make yourself at home. No. Can I offer you a brandy or something?
Please. It's chilly out.
It's the fog. I'm sorry if I sounded a bit hysterical on the phone.
No problem.
It wasn't very professional of me. In my job, one is supposed to be able to cope with the unexpected.
Thanks. What happened exactly?
Well, my flight was due to leave here at 10, but then the fog came down. The Met people said it wasn't likely to lift till midday tomorrow, so they cancelled the flight and I came home. As I drove up, I noticed the light was on in Vanessa's bedroom. And as I walked down the side path, suddenly a man burst out of the back door, rushed down the garden, climbed the fence and disappeared into the trees. Well, I've got one or two things of value, pieces of jewellery. So I dashed into the house, expecting... well, chaos, I suppose.
Yeah.
But as you can see, down here, nothing's been touched. I'm sorry. My hands are still shaking.
Cheers, then.
Yes, cheers. Oh, that's better. Of course, the light was still on in Vanessa's room, so I looked in there.
And what did you find?
Come and see.
Crikey. Looks as though bombs hit it.
I started to pack up some of her clothes. The suitcase on the bed. He's been through that.
Yes.
He's been through the wardrobe and left everything on the floor. And looks like he just started on the dressing table when I arrived and scared him off.
He was certainly making a pretty thorough job.
Well, thank God I came home when I did, or the whole cottage could be looking like this.
Or maybe he knew exactly what he was after and that he'd find it in here.
But what? I mean, Vanessa had nothing of value. The clothes she stood up in. Will there be fingerprints?
Not if he was a pro. We'll check, of course. The boys will be on their way now. How did he get in?
Nothing's forced. I can only assume he used the spare door key I keep in a flower pot outside.
How many people know about that?
No one I don't totally trust.
Any friend of Vanessa's?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Where is this flower pot exactly?
There are four geraniums in pots on the lounge windowsill. I keep the key under the second one from the right.
Not all that obvious, then. Well, certainly to your average passing thief.
No.
Ergo, the thief knew where to find the key. Ergo, he was an acquaintance of yours. Or more likely, since it was her room he was searching, of Vanessa's.
But what was he looking for?
No idea. You saw him. What did he look like?
I saw very little of him. In the fog and everything.
You saw he was a man?
Oh, I saw that much, yes.
Think.
Well, he was a big man.
Yes.
Heavy. Not young, I don't think.
Mm.
Or at least not fit, or he'd have vaulted the garden fence. It's not high.
How was he dressed?
Dark overcoat. Or raincoat, maybe.
Hat?
Trilby.
Colour of hair?
Oh, I only saw him from behind.
Think.
That's all I saw. I'm sorry.
You're a very good witness. That was a great help.
You're rather daunting, you know, when you interrogate someone.
Oh, dear. I get involved. I apologise.
And when you're asking questions, you don't seem to... Am I allowed to be personal?
Why not?
You don't seem to stutter at all.
No, I don't, do I?
He's bust this drawer. Can't get it open or closed.
Don't touch it, please. Fingerprints.
Too late. Sorry.
Something fell out. Some paper.
Oh, yes, I can see it. Oh, my God. Look.
And that's what he was after.
So she was into pornography.
That's the way it looks, Doc.
Yeah. I suppose it's fairly mild by present standards. Recognise the bloke?
Never seen him before. The photo lab are taking a blow-up of his face. We'll circulate it to the boys on the beat.
Good.
Another thing. I got Sergeant Renouf to make a few phone calls this morning. It transpires that Vanessa Guillaume had over £4,000 in a building society account and nearly £2,000 more in a current account at the bank. Most of the credits were over the last 6 months, and the amounts were usually around the £500 mark in cash. So, putting two and two together, we reckon...
We?
Me and Paula.
Oh, yes, of course. The trusty aide.
Yes, well, we reckon the girl was involved in this large-scale vice ring that everyone's been talking about and was receiving regular payments for her services.
How large-scale is it?
Who knows? The police are taking it sufficiently seriously to want to set up a new vice squad. In fact, the appointment of an operational commander is being announced today.
Splendid.
Mm. Now, tell me your news.
Oh, two items, really. The first is that we finally established Vanessa Guillaume's death as having taken place between 11 and midnight, and that she died of a massive overdose of sleeping tablets prescribed for Helen Bissell.
Exactly what we expected.
Yes. What we hadn't expected, and this is item two, is that the tablets left in the bottle were a popular brand of antacid.
Antacid?
Mm. Indigestion tablets. You can buy them over the counter of any reputable chemist. Interesting. Hmm?
Why should anyone want to put indigestion tablets in a bottle of sleeping pills? And who?
I've got a sort of theory.
Try me, and put some more suntan cream on my back while you're at it.
What if Vanessa had another caller after her father left at about 9, and by the time he'd got there...
Whoever he was.
She was dead. She'd taken her own life.
Go on.
Well, supposing she left a note mentioning the rape and saying she couldn't go on living the life she... he'd been living.
Oh, you're suggesting this chap took the note, put some indigestion tablets in the empty bottle, and left.
Something like that, yes. There, you're done.
Thanks. Yes, but why?
Well, who is more important? Why comes later?
Who, then?
All right, first possibility, it was the rapist. Second possibility, it was the chap who came back last night to look for the photo. Third possibility, they're one and the same man.
And he did all this to cover his tracks?
Yeah.
Which means he was involved in the porno game and there was something incriminating in the photo.
Presumably.
How? The man Helen saw was big and heavy. The boy in the photo, slim. And definitely dishy. Here, give us another look. Ooh, yes, he is dishy. And suntanned. The Mediterranean type, I'd say. Don't know why I bother. I can lie in the garden all day and all I get is joined up freckles.
Stick to the point, Paula.
Well, it's only that this chap is in... his early 30s at most. And muscular. Show him a garden fence and he'd vault it in a flash. He's definitely not our intruder.
So maybe something else in the photo's incriminating.
Like what?
The bed.
That's a point. bedheads. Hand-carved, isn't it? Obviously a one-off job.
Yeah, look at the painting on the wall. I don't know what it is, but it's good.
And that vase is very House and Garden.
Yeah, it rather gives credence to the organised crime theory, doesn't it? That we're up against a sizeable operation. There's the boy in the photo, the guy who did over the cottage, stylish premises, possibly provided by Mr. Big.
Yes, it's possible.
Mummy!
Oh.
Hello, son and heir's awake. I'll get him sorted out, and then we'll have lunch out here.
All right.
Join up a couple more freckles. You can read the paper while you're waiting. I'll bring it out.
Thanks, Paula. That was delicious.
You're welcome, darling.
You know, I think I'll discuss the wider implications of all this with the head of the new vice squad, just as soon as he's been appointed.
He's been appointed. It's in the paper.
What?
Haven't you seen it? I brought it out for you to read.
I decided not to bother. Just sat here and basked. Who is it?
Wait and see. It's only a short piece. I'll read it to you.
Martin, quiet, Di.
Yes, here it is. Now. Due to the general concern expressed in Jersey over the recent increase in drug abuse, pornography and prostitution, possibly mafia financed and inspired, the States of Jersey Police have today nominated the operational commander of its newly formed vice squad. Now listen closely, you'll enjoy this bit. He is Detective Sergeant Charles Leclerc.
Leclerc? I don't believe it.
Thought you'd be thrilled. Detective Sergeant Charles Leclerc, who this year celebrates his 30th anniversary with the force. With this appointment goes a well-merited promotion to Detective Inspector. Oh. Blah, blah, blah. They've even got his picture. Want to see? He looked more bilious than ever.
Hand it over. Oh, Charlie Leclerc, that's all I need.
So, if you want to discuss the wider implications of the Vanessa Guillaume case, that's who you'll have to do it with. Do you think he'll still call you Sonny?
Oh, I expect so. Especially now he's been promoted to Inspector and put in sole charge of something. Maybe I should get it over with this afternoon.
He'll be quite unbearable, won't he?
I shall just have to assert myself.
Full rank, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Remind him that the noble function of centenier dates back to feudal times, and that he's got to pay respect to my office. God, I've started to stutter already.
Come in, Richard.
Thank you.
It was Richard, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Take a pew.
Oh, thanks.
Long time no see.
It is a couple of years since we worked together.
Yes. I recall the case very clearly. It was that business at Bonwe Bay.
Right.
You led me a bit of a dance.
Over-enthusiasm. It was my first case.
So it was. Yes, I remember all the publicity. You were the youngest centenier ever. All that. Even all the headlines. My word, yes. Shall I let you into a little secret?
Please do.
I never thought you'd last. Didn't think you had what it takes. I knew. I never thought I'd make it to Inspector. My sort never do. Wrong kind of background. Shows how mistaken you can be, doesn't it?
Congratulations, anyway.
Thank you. Well, Richard, time is of the essence.
Yes, yes, of course. I want you to look at this.
Well, well, well. She's pretty. Look at those knockers.
She's also dead, OD'd on Wednesday night.
Accidental?
No, I'm beginning to think it was suicide.
Was there a note?
Well, no, but it seems clear.
Did she have a motive?
Well, nothing cast iron, no, but it seems...
Nous ça change.
Eh?
With respect, Mr. Hannon, you haven't changed much, have you, in 2 years?
I'm sorry?
The foundation of police work is evidence. You've got no evidence, you've got no case. Thinking just ain't good enough.
Whether it was an accident or suicide, Charlie, has little bearing on what I've come to see you about.
Ah. You have my full attention.
There is evidence to suggest that the girl, Vanessa Guillaume, was involved in organised pornography.
What evidence? Not this photo, for Pete's sake. This is small beer. One up from a holiday snapshot of a nubile young lady taken topless on a beach.
Not in my view.
Look, It's not illegal for a girl and her boyfriend to take a few shots like this for their own amusement. This is the age of the video.
I know all about that.
Oh, do you now?
But this girl is now dead, and she had a bank balance of over £6,000 paid in cash, £500 at a time. She was barely 19 and unemployed, apart from some part-time modelling. Throw in that photo and a man breaking into the girl's cottage to get it.
You've got evidence of that.
Eh?
Have you got evidence that a man broke into the cottage specifically to get that photo?
There are fairly clear indications.
Like what?
Like he went straight to her room, ignored other items of value.
That just ain't good enough.
It's good enough for me. I think this ties in with big-time pornography, and that's where you come in.
Where I come in, Mr. Hammond, is entirely for me to decide.
Charlie, I wasn't trying to give you orders.
I'm very relieved to hear
listen,
it.
Listen. I know we work in different ways, and I'll acknowledge that my way isn't so scientific, but believe me, there are loose ends here.
You listen, Richard. I know my brief. It's to investigate organized vice in this island and to identify and prosecute the person or persons who are engaged in it. Now, that's a big job. And my team consists of one sergeant and two constables. Add to that the fact that it's my first day in the saddle and it simply is none.
You refuse to help?
I'm refusing nothing. It's a matter of priorities. And as of this moment, I'm afraid your saucy snapshot comes a long way down my list.
It was like banging my head against a brick wall.
Where's your duck, Marty? There he is.
I was offering him a positive lead, for heaven's sake.
Give him a squeeze, that's right.
A face in a photograph, a room with a hand-carved bed, a picture, a vase.
Marty. He was just getting his own back because you upstaged him 2 years ago with that thing at Bonnui Bay. Mind you, he always was unbearable.
Yeah, well, he's worse than ever now. Pompous and snide. And he looked ridiculous, like a badly repaired puncture.
Why?
Well, he cut himself shaving or something and had a large plaster on his cheek.
Pity he didn't let the razor slip a few inches lower.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So what now? You could take it to a higher authority.
No, I'm taking things easy for a week. See what happens.
You're entitled.
Yeah, might even take a few days off altogether. Let the shop look after itself.
You mean it?
Why not? I need the break.
Oh, Richard, it would be wonderful. We could go down and picnic on one of the beaches. Portalette, maybe, or St. Brillard's. We could have romantic suppers like Hamlet.
Oh, hold on, what about Martin?
Oh, we could stay with his granny. You know how your mother dotes on
she
him.
Spoils him rotten.
It's only for a couple of days, or come on, say yes.
Yes.
Oh, Rich.
Oh, Martin, stop it. I'm soaked to the skin.
Oh, who cares?
Martin, stop it.
Come in.
Thank you, Nicky.
Paula, how lovely to see you.
Hello, Nicky.
I wasn't expecting the two of you.
Oh, she's just been co-opted onto the prizes subcommittee.
By whom?
Me.
Well, make yourself at home.
Thank you. Richard is supposed to be taking today off, so I'm not letting him out of my sight. And I'm warning you now, I mean us to be at the beach by lunchtime.
That should be doable. The ball's on Saturday, so there really aren't many points outstanding.
Nicky, this is the most beautiful hotel.
You like it?
It's fabulous. It's like a palace. You must have spent a fortune.
It didn't come cheap. We practically gutted this old part, added the new wing at right angles, and the penthouse floor at the top. That's where I've got my flat. I'll show you around sometime if you're interested. Ooh. As a matter of fact, I'll show you around now if you like.
Could we make it another time, Nicky, please?
The beach beckons?
It does, rather. But I'm enormously impressed.
Unlike your rather silent partner.
Now, Nicky, let's not start on that again.
You know, Paula, your old man has never approved of...
As I recall, Nicky, you and I were pretty inseparable at school.
Till he became head boy.
Well, as head boy, I had certain responsibilities.
You could have turned a blind eye.
Well, I did turn a blind eye to a lot of the things you got up to. What I finally drew the line at was your protection racket with the junior boys.
What was that?
I got them to pay me a penny a week each to protect them from getting thumped by the bigger boys. That's all.
Yeah, and if they didn't pay up, you thumped them yourself.
Well, I call that initiative.
Yeah, and I called it robbery with violence and put a stop to it.
I reported me to the head.
I warned you first.
It nearly got me expelled.
Now, boys, it was a very long time ago.
Oh, I don't bear him any malice, bless you. He taught me the error of my ways.
Now, about the ball, Nicky.
Ah, yes.
Paul has agreed to help count the takings.
Great.
You asked me to bring you the newspaper as soon as it arrived.
Fine, thank you, Mario.
Will that be all?
No, coffee for three, please.
At once. Thank you, sir.
I've ordered the Evening Post because I gave him a lot of info about the ball the other day, and the editor promised me faithfully he'd find space for it on the front page. Yes, here it is. Oh, good spread, eh? Look, it's more than...
Oh, Richard, look.
What?
The main headline.
Police inspector found murdered. Has organized crime come to Jersey?
It's Leclerc.
May I read it, Nicky?
Oh, help yourself.
Read it out.
At first light this morning, the body of Detective Inspector Charles Leclerc was discovered in his car beside the golf course at Grouville. He had been shot in the chest at close quarters and died instantly. He leaves a widow and two grown-up children.
Oh, no.
Sorry I was so long, Paula. There was a queue for the phone.
You get through okay?
Yep.
Beer with your lunch?
Why not?
There are two cans in the hamper. Help yourself. I'll unpack the eats.
Okay.
So, what was the official line?
Well, I spoke to Colin Laurent, the centenier at St. Clement. He's an approachable sort of chap. He couldn't talk for long, of course. It's pandemonium at the station. They mean to get this one sorted out fast.
And what happened?
Well, it seems Leclerc got a phone call just before six last evening from someone offering information which was strictly confidential. A man who left no name. Charlie was told to go to a public phone box near the harbour at Gorey at midnight and wait. The arrangement was he would receive a phone call there for a rendezvous. While there, he'd be under observation. It was all off if he didn't go alone.
So you went alone?
Yeah. You want me to pour yours?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
What happened then is largely supposition. Presumably he went to the phone box and arranged the rendezvous at Grouville for about 12:15.
Chicken or ham?
Not either. He was shot while still in the driving seat of his car. The assailant had evidently leant in through the open window and shot him in the heart. At very close range.
Poor man.
Yeah. I didn't have much time for him, but... Yes.
There's plenty of salad. Crisps, corn chips, cheese straws.
I'm sorry, Paula. Suddenly I don't feel very hungry.
Me neither.
Oh, and the funeral's Thursday.
Man that is born of a woman hath but a short time to live and is full of misery. He cometh out.
Hello, Richard.
And is cut
down. Oh, hi, Stuart.
Like
a
flower.
Sad occasion. Yes.
He fleeth, as it were, a shadow.
And were you directly involved? Oh, I was summoned to the scene, as usual.
And it was instantaneous?
Oh, yes. The gun was held to his chest, bullet into the heart. Whoever it was knew what he was doing.
A professional job.
Could be.
They'd get a definite ident on the gun.
It was an old Luger, World War II.
Well, that doesn't sound very professional.
Huh?
You'd expect a mafia hitman to use something a bit more up-to-date.
It's not my province, old boy. I'm a medic, not an expert on ballistics.
Funny, though.
Thou knowest, Lord.
I'll tell you something else peculiar, since you're interested.
What?
When I examined him, he was looking positively jaunty. Hat slightly over one eye, flower in his buttonhole. It looked like he'd been to a party. He hadn't, of course. No evidence of alcohol in the stomach. It's a good turnout.
Yeah.
Considering he was so unpleasant. Mind you, anyone married to a woman with a face like that has an excuse for being unpleasant.
God of his great mercy to take unto himself the soul of our dear brother here departed.
Hello.
Hmm? Oh. Hello.
What's a pretty girl like you doing all alone on the beach?
Just getting a suntan.
You don't have to put your top on for me. I don't mind topless.
I do, at least in company.
Why? Lots of girls go topless all of the time.
Well, not this girl.
Mind if I sit down? You can say no if you want to. It's okay with me.
Go ahead.
Grazie.
Don't tell me you're Italian.
Si.
What's your name?
Gianni. What's yours?
Paula.
Paula. I like that. It's a nicer name. A nicer name for a very nicer girl.
Thank you.
When the sun shines like this, it makes you feel good, eh?
Mm.
I like the sun.
So what made you leave Italy?
I come where the work is.
You work in Jersey?
Si.
What do you do?
Decent at that. For a pretty girl, you ask a lot of questions.
I'm interested, that's all.
You're interested in me?
Why not? You're very pretty, too.
Your skin is soft. Your boyfriend is at work,
I haven't got a boyfriend.
Hey.
But I have got a husband.
Your husband's a very lucky man. What's he do, your husband?
Works in a shop.
What sort of shop?
He sells handbags, if you must know.
Handbags? Ladies' handbags?
And leather goods, generally, yes.
Your husband. He's a little guy, right? With spectacles and no hair.
Right.
And when he make love to you, you don't hardly notice, eh?
Right.
You would notice if I made love to you. I'm very, very good.
You probably get a lot of property.
I don't do so bad. Would you like me to make love to you? You can say no if you want to. I don't mind.
Now?
I got a little place not too far from here.
Can I think about it?
You got 10 minutes.
Fancy a swim?
Sure.
Come on, then. I'll race you.
You and me are going to get on great.
Propositioned? On the beach, you?
You needn't sound so surprised.
Well, who by the Pete's sake?
Well, his name is Gianni.
Yeah?
He's Italian. And 22, 23. He's a
douche. Paula! I
hold on. He is also the boy from the photograph.
You mean the one? You don't mean the one?
Who was in bed with Vanessa Guillaume, yes.
Crikey.
I was basking there on my tummy on the beach, and suddenly there he was. I recognised him straight away.
Call the police.
Well, how could I? What? Half a mile to the nearest phone box. I could hardly ask him to hang on while I phoned the police station.
Did you at least get his name and address?
No.
You mean you let him slip through our fingers?
Richard, will you please give me a moment or two and I'll explain?
Darling girl, what good are explanations? This chap might not only clear up the Vanessa Guillaume business for us, he might also give us the lead into organised crime. It's not even impossible that he murdered Leclerc.
Oh, no, I don't think he did that, Richard.
Eh?
Oh, he isn't that sort of boy. He's sweet, rather gentle, almost naive. No, he's certainly not the kind of kill someone eye to eye at close range.
Killers come in all shapes and sizes. Anybody with a strong enough motive can kill.
Oh, okay, so maybe he's a killer.
Yes, and now we've lost him.
No, we haven't, as I've been trying to explain for the last 2 minutes. He's coming here at about 11 o'clock tonight, as soon as he's finished work.
He's coming here tonight? What for?
Oh, Richard, honestly, to go to bed with me, of course.
What?
I told him you were away on business and I'd be all alone tonight.
Are you aware of the risk you're taking?
Martin's at Granny's for the night. What's the problem?
He could be armed and very dangerous.
He's coming here sometime after 11, Richard. It's all arranged. We can't unarrange it now. All we've got to do is be ready for him, organise a stage.
Oh, that's all I wanted, a shootout on my own front doorstep.
What time is it now?
About 6 minutes later than the last time you asked.
The time, Paula?
Oh, shine the torch. It's just gone 5 to 11. 0 hour minus 5. Countdown continues.
This is no joke.
Who's joking?
I'd better just check that everyone's on their toes. Eric. Come in, Eric. Nothing. Eric, please come in. Why the heck doesn't he answer?
Did you press the button?
Of course I pressed the button. And please come away from the window.
The car's still there, so presumably Eric's in it.
Then why doesn't he answer?
Oh, let me try. Come on, hand it
in. It won't do you any good. The darn thing's obviously broken.
Come in, Eric.
Hi, Paula. What's up?
Just checking you haven't popped off for a pint.
Not likely.
Can you see anything?
No, love. It is quite as grave here.
And let us know when he comes into sight.
Will do. Over and yet.
It's a matter of pressing the right button.
All right.
Want me to check with Damien downstairs?
Better hat.
Richard?
Hold on, it's Eric. What's up, Eric?
It's a car coming into sight now, heading in this direction. Can't see him too clearly under the street lights, but he's young and he's dark and he's looking furtive.
Tell him to stand by.
Richard says stand by.
Roger, and out.
I'll have a peep.
Don't show yourself, whatever you do.
Oh, be careful.
C- Can you see him?
Yes.
Is it Johnny?
Hard to say. The bill's about right.
Give me the walkie-talkie.
Well, here you are, and remember, it's that button.
I know.
I'll keep on keeping a lookout.
Stand by, Eric. Stand by, Damien. I want to go over the arrangements one more time. When he's in the hallway, Paula slips out of the open door and we three converge. Eric from the street, Damien from the kitchen, me from up here. Only for God's sake, let Paula get well clear.
Roger, and it.
Okay, we're ready for action.
No need. False alarm.
Eh?
It's Malcolm from up the road, out for his nightly constitutional. Maybe next time.
Oh, I look like an older version of my mother.
Yeah, I feel about 90 myself.
Didn't you sleep either?
Not a wink. Kept listening for every sound. Especially after Eric and Damien knocked off.
Yeah, me too. What, silly, really. By 1 o'clock it was perfectly obvious he wasn't going to turn up.
Yeah. Wonder why he didn't.
Probably had a better offer. I'm not the most glamorous bird in Jersey after all. Especially not this morning. I'm really going to have fun at the ball tonight. I'll be asleep on my feet by 9:30.
Maybe he smelt a rat.
Yes, maybe. Maybe I should have played harder to get. There's such a thing as being too available. That's an instant turn-off for most men.
You're speaking from personal experience.
Well, of course. Remember Victor Touzel? I threw all my pride to the winds with him, and what did he do? Join the Sea Scouts instead. Mind you, he was a very immature 15.
He could have been arrested.
Victor.
Gianni. The police had his description, after all.
Well, phone and ask. Here, give me the sponge, and I'll do you back.
Johnny, who?
I don't know his last name, Ken, but he's the chap from the pornographic photo in the Vanessa Guillaume case. We had a stakeout for him here at my house last night. He never turned up.
Oh, yes, him. Well, he wouldn't have, would he?
Why not?
We haven't had a positive identification yet, but if it's the same bloke, he was murdered round about midnight last night.
Murdered?
Shot at close range.
Where?
Grouville. Close to where they found Inspector Leclerc. As a matter of fact, it looks very much like the same guy did it. Same place, same MO. The bullet probably came from the same gun.
But why should one man want to kill Leclerc and the Gianni character? They were on opposite sides of the fence.
Can't answer that as yet, Mr. Hammond. It's very early days. The place is jumping down here, as you can imagine. No crimes of violence in Jersey in years, and now we've had 2 murders within a week.
I can't believe it somehow.
What?
You know, that this is a sort of Chicago shootout, like the papers say.
It's got to be something like that, Richard. What possible reason could there be for murdering Leclerc unless he was onto something? Something big.
You didn't give me the impression he was onto something when we talked that afternoon. And as for something big, I can't believe it's that big an operation. This is Jersey, not Chicago. Can there really be so much money invested in this operation to make it worth their while, whoever they are, to kill 2 people?
What, then?
I don't know.
And what about Gianni? We know he was involved with the gang.
I still can't believe they were both killed by a professional with a sentimental attachment to an old Luger. There's a piece missing somewhere. Something we don't know. Or know and have overlooked.
I've had a sobering thought. We were involved with both of them. You with Leclerc, me with Gianni. Not long before they died. Anyone who speaks to the Hammonds bites the dust.
Yeah.
Talk about the kiss of death. Of course, it's got to be coincidence.
I wonder. Here we are, the Hotel Granville. Come on, let's forget about death and disaster and have ourselves a ball.
I'll just go and powder my nose.
All right, I'll take the coats.
See you here in 5 minutes.
Okay. Ah, good evening.
Hello, Mr. Hammond.
Oh, nice to see you again, Miss Bisson.
Taking an evening off?
Sort of.
Am I allowed to say something about Vanessa?
Yes, of course.
It's nothing crucial, I don't think. It's just that, well,
It's been on my mind, and since I've got you to myself for a minute...
Yes, yes.
She didn't wear a nightie. I mean, she slept with nothing on, always. But she was in a nightie when I found her. It didn't strike me at the time, because I thought there were more important things to think about, but... Well, it's sort of strange, isn't it? Why that night?
Hello?
Oh, Lord, my boyfriend's beginning to get impatient. I must go. Bye!
She didn't wear a nightie.
Ladies and gentlemen,
oh,
if I have your
attention,
please.
Hello, Stuart.
Yes, immensely well.
He's done wonders with this place, hasn't he? Customs. It was a real white elephant a couple of years ago.
Stuart, the second body at Grimby...
Oh, Lord, not shop again, Richard. Can't you ever relax?
The paper says it was the same gun as was used on Leclerc.
It was the same gun. It was the same M.O. altogether. One shot into the heart, point-blank range. And what's more, they've established the poor man's identity. If I forget the name exactly, he was Italian. Good work here, with a hotel. With a waiter.
By golly.
Oh, I reckon the police will soon sort it out now. Now that things have come to a head.
You say it was exactly the same, Emma.
Yeah.
Was there a flower in the buttonhole?
Hmm?
You told me Leclerc had a flower in his buttonhole.
Yes, well, that wasn't part of the M.O., Richard.
Stuart, sure, did Gianni, whatever his name is, have a flower in his buttonhole?
Yes, he did as it happened.
What kind?
Oh, I'm no gardener.
What, the colour?
Red.
In both cases, they both had a red flower in their buttonhole.
Yeah. If you push me, I'd say it was a dahlia. Why?
So they both had a flower in their buttonhole. What's so odd about that?
It was a dahlia, Paula. A crimson dahlia.
I'm sorry, but I still...
Jean-Guillaume named a crimson dahlia after his daughter Vanessa.
And?
Okay, let's try another angle. Why did we find it hard to believe that Vanessa Guillaume had committed suicide? I'll tell you. Because of her father's testimony. We couldn't understand how, since there was evidence she'd been raped that afternoon, she was so happy when he called that evening. Well, what if she wasn't happy? What if he was lying? What if he found her desperately unhappy and persuaded her to tell him why?
You mean that she'd been doing pornographic modelling?
And had been raped by one of her associates or clients, yes. And what if she'd shown him some photos? Mightn't that, after her overdose, have given him a motive for murder?
For murdering Gianni, yes, but not Leclerc.
Whoever murdered the one murdered the other. And it has to be Guillaume, Paula, because that dahlia in the buttonhole was his signature. It would have meant nothing to anyone else.
But if Vanessa was alive when her father left her, who put the indigestion tablets in the pill bottle?
Good question.
And why?
To make the overdose look accidental and put the police off the scent.
So it must have been the porno people. And they came back later to destroy the evidence.
Hang on.
What?
Guillaume has ulcers.
He does?
Well, that's what Helen said.
Oh, sure, it's not out of the question that he'd carry indigestion tablets around in his pocket.
Right.
And if they were his, that means he visited Vanessa after her death and not before.
Listen. Here's the scenario. Guillaume makes his usual weekly visit to the cottage, enters by using the key under the flower pot, and finds Vanessa dead. He also finds her suicide note in an envelope with some pornographic photos illustrating clearly why Vanessa, out of self-disgust, had taken her own life. Guillaume's first thought is to protect his daughter's reputation.
Yes, so he pockets the suicide note in the photos, puts indigestion tablets in the pill bottle,
and
undresses the girl, puts her into a nightie, and pops her into bed.
Yeah, and later, in his interview with me, he reinforces the accidental overdose theory by saying that when he saw her that evening, she was alive, happy, and planning to return to the fold.
And he was lying in his teeth.
His second thought is to avenge her death. He studies the photos, somehow locates Gianni and disposes of him.
And Leclerc, you must have had a motive for killing him, too.
The same motive, maybe.
You mean the photos may have shown Leclerc in bed with Vanessa? The imagination boggles.
And it could have been Leclerc who broke into the cottage. If there were incriminating photos of him, he'd have to get them back, or it would be the end of his career. Yeah, it fits, Paula. I can't think why I didn't think of it before. Look, stay here.
Where are you going?
To make a phone call, then for a short drive.
Richard?
Evening, Mr. Hammond.
Hello, Ken. Eric.
Sir.
Thanks for getting here so
past.
We made it sound pretty urgent on the phone.
Well, what's it all about? Can't believe we're here to pick flowers.
I have reason to suspect that the occupant of this house, Jean Guillaume, is responsible for both the recent murders at Grouville.
Blimey.
I want to get him to the station now for interrogation before he takes another life.
Another one?
Well, his motive's revenge. He's killed two people. I don't see why he should stop there.
Is he going to be violent, sir?
Well, he has no grudge against us. I reckon he's more likely to run for it than anything else.
You reckon?
I can't give you a written guarantee, sorry.
So, what's the plan of campaign?
Well, we want someone round the back in case he tries to make a break for it that way.
Okay, Eric, that's you.
I'm on my way.
Ken, you stay by the cars. I'll knock on the door.
Right. What happens if he shoots?
We run for cover.
Well, thank God for that.
This was supposed to be my night off.
Mine too.
You mean you're not on duty?
No.
So why don't you leave it to someone else, for Pete's sake?
If I put it through channels, Ken, nobody's going to lift a finger. Not until it's too late. We've got to stop him now. Shh. I can hear someone coming.
Yes? Who is it?
Centenia Hammond. Evening, Mrs. Guillaume. I interviewed you after your daughter's death.
Ah, yes, Mr. Hammond, of course. Just a moment, I'll let you in.
Right.
There you are. Oh, you're not alone.
It's an official visit, Mrs. Guillaume. We'd like to talk to your husband.
He's not here. He's been out all day.
Well, when are you expecting him home?
I was more or less expecting him at tea time, but it wasn't definite. Why do you want to see him?
We'd like to ask him a few questions, ma'am.
What about? Something serious, isn't it?
Mrs. Guillaume, it's in connection with the murders at Grouville.
You can't suspect him of murder.
At this stage, we simply want to ask him some questions.
Well, you better come in. Both of you.
Thank you.
Please wipe your feet. Now then, how can I help?
As far as you know, Mrs. Guillaume, does your husband possess a gun?
No. Well, I don't think so. He doesn't use a gun at all. I mean, he doesn't go out shooting. Wait a minute. There is a German pistol. It's a souvenir of the occupation. He's had it since he was a boy. I doubt if it even works.
Do you know where he keeps it?
Yes, there in the desk.
Then could we see it, please?
Of course, if you must. It isn't here. Nor is the tin.
Tin?
He had a few bullets for it. He kept them in an old cigarette tin.
You're sure they're not there?
The drawer's empty. Mr. Hammond, I can't believe my husband would show violence to anybody. He isn't that sort of a man.
Listen, can you just tell us where we can find him now?
Now? Well, all I know is he was working all day at the Hotel Granville.
Granville? What was he doing there?
There's a big charity ball there tonight. He was providing and arranging the flowers. He was expecting to be there till late afternoon. Well, he may still be there for all I know. He certainly hasn't come
Thank
home.
Thank you, Mrs. Guillaume. Come on, Ken. Hotel Granville. Ah, Paula, there you are.
Where have you been?
The Guillaume place.
Not on your own?
I took Ken and Eric.
What happened?
I spoke to his wife. Looks like he's here with his gun.
No, what's he doing here?
Officially, he's doing flower arrangements for the ball.
And unofficially?
If there is a Mr. Big behind this porno operation, the chances are he's going to be here among the guests.
And you think Guillaume will be after him?
That's my guess, yes.
Yeah, well, let's face it, you are guessing, aren't you? You haven't got much to go on.
By police standards, I've got nothing, which is why we've got to keep a low profile. I've given Ken and Eric Guillaume's description, and they're quietly circulating. There's nothing much else we can do.
Richard, What if you're wrong?
I shall be in a great deal of hot water. He's not in here. Let's take a look in the bar.
Too late. Here comes Nicky. Hi, Nicky.
Oh, hello, you two. Sorry to interrupt, but I think it's about time you got counting.
Ah.
If we leave it any longer, by the time you make the announcement, half the guests will go.
Nicky, the thing is...
Well, Richard, here's the takings. Take the lot up to my flat on the top floor where it's quiet and nobody's going to disturb you.
Yeah, Nicky...
I'll come up myself shortly with a whop of bubbly just to oil the wheels. Well, go on, off you go.
Switch. Oh, yes, here it is. Oh.
What's the matter?
The bulb must have gone.
Oh, there's a lamp over there. Try that.
Oh, okay.
I'll put this lot down on the table. Oh, that's better.
Oh, it's not very bright. We need something stronger for counting all these checks.
Oh, we'll let Nicky sort that out when he gets here. Now, you take that pile and I'll clear the decks.
Richard.
Yeah?
Look at the flowers in the vase.
Crimson dahlias?
Guillaume's trademark.
Well, it's hardly surprising, I suppose, since Guillaume did the flowers. He was bound to use dahlias somewhere.
I don't think I noticed any downstairs. And another thing, this is Nicky's private flat. Why should Guillaume provide the flowers in here?
Yeah, that's a point. Why should he?
Oh, I've got a funny feeling.
What do you mean?
It's the way this place is furnished. This lamp, that vase. Oh, Richard, they're just like the ones in that photo.
Well, let's take a look in the bedroom.
No need. Mr. Hammond.
Guillaume.
He's got a gun.
Yes. This is where the photographs were taken. The video camera's in there. You noticed the flowers then? I couldn't help overhearing.
No doubt later you plan to put one in Custance's buttonhole.
Afterwards? Yes.
As you did with Leclerc and the Italian.
Please sit down. It's unfortunate, but I'm sure you understand. I can't let you go till after Custance's... Is this your wife?
Yes.
You have my apologies, Mrs. Hammond.
If you kill Custance, you'll be jailed for life.
I'll be jailed for life for two murders, Mr. Hammond. A third can hardly make much difference. Besides, Rod, Vanessa, nothing to live for. I asked you to sit down. Now I'm telling you. Good. I'm sorry about the lack of light. I removed the bulb from the center fitting. I wanted him to be well inside the room before I announced my presence.
What makes you think he's coming?
Oh, he'll come. Sooner or later.
Later, I should think. He's got so much to see to downstairs.
I can wait.
About Vanessa?
Yes.
Was she dead when you got to the cottage?
No, not quite. I did what I could, but she was too far gone for me to help her on my own. I was about to phone for an ambulance when I saw the envelope with her note.
And the photographs?
Yes. The photographs. The question was, what should I do? If I informed the authorities, there was no doubt the whole story would come out in court. I couldn't subject her to that.
You let her die? Your own daughter?
It was what she wanted. I sat with her, holding her hand. Finally, when I was sure all life had gone, I considered how best to make it look like an accidental death. So, I undressed her and put her into bed. Just like I had when she was a small child.
You also put antacid tablets into the empty pill jar.
Yes. Yes, it was worth a try. When I got home, I looked again at the photos and decided I must find out how an innocent girl had been reduced to... One man's face looked familiar. I suddenly realized I'd seen his picture that day in the local paper. I looked again. It was Inspector Charles Leclerc, and he'd been put in charge of the vice squad. Not without its irony, that appointment. I phoned him anonymously at his office and said I could give him information about organized vice if he'd meet me alone.
And he came.
Huh. How could he refuse? I chose Grouville because it's quiet. Not many people use that stretch of road at night. He drove up as arranged, and I went over and spoke to him through the open window. Introduced myself. Told him I had a photo of him with my daughter. Threatened to report him if he didn't give me names. The name he gave me was Gianni Enrico, employed as a waiter at this hotel. This was the man who'd first seduced my daughter. I was walking away when he begged me to return the photo.
What about the photo? I've got to have it back. I've given you the information you wanted. My career's not worth a brass farthing if I can't have the photo back. Oh, for God's sake, man! I loved your daughter. I loved her. Don't you understand? I wouldn't have harmed her. Not for all the world. You've got to believe me.
I walked slowly back to the car, took out the gun, pressed it against his chest, and fired. How could this creature, this gross man with stale breath smelling of sweat, how could he presume to love my daughter? I was quite calm, clear thinking. I went back to my van, parked close by. I'd loaded it with blooms, ready for the next day. I took a crimson dahlia and put it in his buttonhole. The Vanessa Guillaume, transcending everything.
Then you went after Gianni.
I made an appointment to see Custance about providing the flowers for the ball tonight. It seemed a good excuse to look the place over and ask a lot of questions. While we were talking in his office, a waiter brought in some coffee. It was Gianni Enrico. I recognized him at once. I asked for him to show me over the building, and we got talking. I expressed an interest in blue movies. He said he knew where he could get some. Good quality, shot in Jersey, some of them featuring himself. He boasted about his sexual prowess. I told him if he got me some good films, I'd make it worth his while. Said I'd phone him in 24 hours. I did so on the evening of his death. He said he had what I wanted, and I agreed to collect them that night at a quiet rendezvous near Grouville at about 11.
Before he came out to our house?
He opened the car door for me, and I got into the passenger seat next to him.
These are the films. Hand over the money, quickly.
There's something I'd like you to look at first.
I'm in a hurry. I've got a date. A heavy date, you know.
I think you're going to be interested in this, Gianni.
Okay, so let me see. Hey, yes, this is me, all right, eh? Not bad, huh? Oh, I'm sorry she's dead. She was a nice girl. Good to be with, you know.
That girl was my daughter, you...
Hey, wait, what are you doing with that gun?
I'm going to shoot you, Mr. Enrico, for making my daughter a whore.
What do you mean? I make films with her. I make love with her, yes. For me, it is something I do. For money...
Who got her into it?
My boss, me, Mr. Custance. Ah. He's the guy. He arranged it all. He shoot the films in his suite at the hotel. Me, I am nothing. I'm nothing. Please, please...
This time I had the flower ready.
Mr. Guillaume, stop now.
When Custance is lying dead, I stop. Then the slate will be wiped clean.
Okay, folks, here's the long-awaited refreshment. What's the total? Mr. Williams, what are you doing here?
The name is not Williams, Mr. Custance. It's Guillaume.
Guillaume?
Vanessa Guillaume's father.
And?
You corrupted her. Now you must pay for it.
Do I get a chance to plead my case?
What for?
If you're going to kill me because of what your daughter became, I think you should at least know the truth.
No.
5 minutes. It's not too much to ask.
5 minutes, that's all.
Fair enough. Let's go back 4 years. I was one of the assistant managers at a big hotel in Salisbury. My special duties were to promote and run the hotel disco. And I came in contact with a lot of young people. Some of them, the regulars, I got to know quite well. And that included your daughter. One night late, after I'd closed up, I found her hanging around alone in a foyer, in tears. She told me she'd had a row with her family. And knew that by this time she'd been locked out and she had nowhere to sleep, no friends she could go to. Could I help her out? Well, we had one or two rooms empty that night, so I sneaked a key from reception and took her upstairs, intending quite simply to show her into the room and see she was okay, and then return alone to my own quarters. Once inside the room, she propositioned me.
You're lying.
Mr. Guillaume, believe me, this is God's truth. I have to tell you, I didn't know what sex was until that night. She was magic. In the morning, she told me she'd lied to me the previous night, and that she was at a nearby boarding school, and that she was still underage. That meant my job was on the line. She promised me she wouldn't say anything, so long as she could spend every Saturday night with me. It was the easy option, and I took it. Until I came and took over the Granville a year ago, Vanessa and I spent every Saturday night together making love. But it was Vanessa who led, and me who followed.
always.
That's enough, Constance.
You gave me 5 minutes. When I came here, Vanessa followed me. I told her not to. I begged her not to. She was at medical school by now, and it seemed ridiculous that she should throw in her career. I told her the affair was over, that she had no hold over me now. I was my own master. But still she came. I tried to cut her out of my life, but every evening she was there, in the bar, in the disco. I couldn't throw her out. It didn't seem right. I tried reasoning with her. She wouldn't listen. I was coming to the end of my tether. In parallel with this, I was building up the hotel. I'd borrowed a vast amount of money, and I needed to increase my trade. I offered advantageous terms to a couple of mainland companies to hold their conventions here. Some of the businessmen expressed the wish to be entertained. I invited one or two of them up here, and we drink and smoke pot, maybe, and generally have a good time. Sooner or later, of course, somebody wanted a girl, and was clearly going to get awkward if one wasn't provided. Vanessa was in the bar. I asked her to do me a favour. She came up here and obliged everybody. It was wrong. I know it was wrong. So next time, I flew in a couple of hookers. They simply couldn't compete. By now, word was getting round that the Granville was the place to be. Now, entertainment had to be provided. I got a video camera. Vanessa came into her own. She was a kind of goddess of sex. It wasn't my doing, Mr. Guillaume. It was the way she always was. I reckon that's my 5 minutes. The defense rests.
I don't believe you.
It's the truth. God knows I don't claim to be a paragon of virtue, but I never led her astray, Mr. Guillaume. Vanessa needed no leading.
Give me the gun, Mr. Guillaume.
Get out of the way.
No. If you want him, you'll have to shoot me first.
Vanessa.
Now, please, give me the gun.
This tea is awful.
Sorry, sir. It's the best we can do.
God, not even a decent cup of tea. What are police stations coming to these days?
I'll have a word with the manager, sir.
Can we get on with your statement, Nicky?
Why not? Where do we got to?
The day Vanessa died.
Ah, yes. Well, Charlie Leclerc phoned me at about 5 o'clock. How well did you know Charlie?
Not well. I know not many people liked him.
No. He was a sad sort of a guy. Bitter. Bitter about his marriage, bitter about his career, bitter about not getting promoted in 30 years.
Did you know him well?
Well, I took over the hotel. It became a regular custom, always on the same stool at the bar. That's where he met Vanessa. He got quite friendly.
He fancied her?
I think she led him on. What she didn't know at that stage was that Charlie was a policeman. So when one night she let slip, she started doing little favours for some of the hotel clientele. She was somewhat disconcerted to find he was taking a professional interest.
And?
She bore him off by letting him watch. Then later she let him join in and suddenly he was hooked. Fell in love with her. Wanted to save her. The whole bit.
And Vanessa?
Kept him sweet the only way she knew how.
They had an affair?
If we could call it that. She went to bed with him. She went to bed with him the afternoon of the day she died. At her cottage. Except this time it was different.
In what way?
Well, he said afterwards it had been like going 10 rounds with a rogue octopus, and that he had the scars to prove it.
Hence the sticking plaster on his face.
Eh?
I'm just thinking aloud. Go on.
Well, after they'd finished and he'd collected his thoughts a bit, he proposed marriage and said he'd divorce his wife. Oh, that guy, you'd think he would have known better.
Well, she turned him down.
Worse than that. She produced a stack of stills that had been taken during one particularly hectic film session by some idiot businessman.
several of them showed Vanessa were Charlie. She said he was fat, old and ugly, and that she'd send them to the chief of police if he didn't get right out of her life right then. So he went.
Poor beggar.
Yeah, pathetic. Anyway, when he got home, he phoned me. Oh, and he was in a fair old state. He'd taken a physical and emotional battering from Vanessa, and now maybe his career was at stake.
Sure.
So he told me to go over to the cottage and get the photos from her. Because if he went down, he'd make damn sure I went down with him.
Then what?
I found her in tears. She'd reached the bottom of the bin. She realised with Leclerc that afternoon that she'd released forces inside herself she simply couldn't control. Not just wild, destructive. And she blamed me for it, for turning an infatuated schoolgirl into a whore. And it wasn't true, Richard. It wasn't any doing of mine.
And that's what you told her?
I told her the painful truth, yes. That she enjoyed every minute of it. But if she wanted to call a halt now, so be it.
How did she react?
Well, she went wild. Yelled at me to get out. I tried to reason with her. Even asked her for Charlie's photos. She just couldn't hear what I was saying. When I got back, I phoned him and told him I'd drawn a blank. But I'd try again when she cooled down. Next thing I heard, she was dead.
And Charlie made one more abortive attempt to get back the photos and was nearly caught in the act by Helen Bissell.
Yeah, I blew my top at that. Till then, the word was that it looked like an accidental overdose. I suppose it was suicide.
Oh, yeah, she left a note. Her father took it.
What did it say?
It was in an envelope along with the photos. It said, I can't live with this and I can't live without it.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably saved my life tonight.
Yes, I probably did.
Thanks. Well, head prefect, what are you going to charge me with?
I'm sure we'll think of something.
I see Guillaume is pleading guilty but insane. Do you think he was mad?
I'd say the balance of his mind was deeply disturbed.
You know, you don't get one mention here.
No.
You single-handedly clear up two murders. You save someone's life at the risk of your own. You put a stop to organised life on the island.
Such as it was.
Don't underplay it, Richard. OK, maybe there was no mafia involvement, but it was bad enough. And the bullets were real.
Well, it's all over now.
Mm. What'll happen to Nicky?
It's his first offence. Maybe a short jail sentence. It's hard to say. I'll stress his previous good character, needless to say.
Then what?
Well, if he's got any sense, he'll sell up and start again somewhere he isn't known.
Do you know, in spite of everything, I like him.
Mm, me too.
And I admire the way he stood up to Guillaume that night.
Yeah, took a lot of doing.
You've got to admire his initiative and drive. Look, it says here that the proceeds from the charity ball are 70% up on the previous record. Well, that's all Nick is doing.
Right.
Hey, it's funny, though.
What is?
This bit down here at the bottom of the page. Stop it. One of those snippets of really useless information.
Oh, yes.
It's been a bumper year for dailies.
Oh.
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 Oh. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh.
A Year for Dahlias by Alan Downer, with Stephen Pacey as Richard Hammond and Rosalind Adams as Paula. Mr. Guillaume was played by David Garth, Mrs. Guillaume by Dillis Lay, Helen Bisson by Natasha Pine, Nicky Custance by Alan Thompson, and Gianni Enrico by Carl Forgione. Reginald Marsh played Dr. Elston. Patrick Horn, Detective Sergeant Renouf, James Carey, Detective Inspector Leclerc, and Jamie Roberts, Detective Constable Plummer. A Bumper Year for Dahlias was directed by David Johnston.